Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings. For the good of all.
Thrumkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Monday, June 16th, 2008. This is episode 67, entitled, Oops, I Knew I Forgot Something, and I'm Aprillian, your host, and with me is my co-host, Asheo. Good morning, Asheo.
Good morning slash evening, Aprillian. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Let's get started. So how was your week?
It's been pretty good. Another fine week in, well, not just Azeroth, but the Outlands as well.
Oh, good.
Yes. Achieved a fair amount this week in terms of doing some upgrades and finally getting spend some more time on those mages.
Oh, good. So You're learning how to do the squishy.
Yeah, I'm getting there, bit by bit.
I have to admit, I haven't been playing my mages at all. And I really need to go back and explore that.
You do?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it was very exciting when I started out, especially, portals. So you've got, well, let's see. Do we want to just jump right in or let's talk about what we're going to talk about this week. Of course, we're going to talk about what we've been doing. And we're going to talk about some add-ons. Didn't get any responses to our request for, anyone want to talk about add-ons, but maybe we will this week. I'm going to talk about Quest Helper and Quest Guru at the end of the show. So I guess We'll just jump right into what we've been doing.
Let's do that.
You go first.
All righty. I think it is my time to go first. Well, I started off my week with a first. It was the first time that the raiding team I raid with on Asheo went to Serpent Shrine Covenant and got Hydros and Lurker down in one night.
Oh wow, congratulations.
It felt very rewarding to achieve that. I'm sure there's a lot of people going, we clear it in 3 hours. Well, yeah, good on you. But for us, that was quite an achievement. And I actually won some very nice Boots of the Shifting Nightmare to top the night off. So, Asheo's DPS has gone up slightly as a result of that. And I decided that I should actually, it's been a while since, I've got a whole bunch of, purples and upgrades and things on Asheo from doing Karazhan. And really since then, haven't really, put the effort into doing upgrades of her gear. So this week I'd collected a few of the Dark Moon Crusade cards from, the Dark Moon Fair. Have you ever tried to collect a set of the cards?
No, I always thought they were very expensive, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Well, some of them are. Some of them, some of them you pick up for 10, 20 gold.
Oh.
So, some of them are hundreds of gold. And I'd had a few of the Crusade deck, and the Crusade deck's particularly nice for warlocks that do dots, because the buff on the Crusade deck is each time you land a harmful spell on an opponent, you gain 8 spell damage for the next 10 seconds, and stacks up to 10 times.
And for those that are clueless, are new or don't know, dots, because this confused me for a while, and I'm sure it might be confusing somebody else. That's damage over time.
Damage over time,
right.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
I did the dual boxing video way back in the beginning of the podcast, and I kept calling them buffs, but they're like not buffs. So they're something that you put on a mob that does something bad.
So rather than a burst damage like a shadow bolt or a frost bolt or something, it's something that does
hangs around
damage over damage over time. It just ticks away. And the thing with dots is they don't crit. So whereas a fire bolt you know, you could crit, and so you're working on improving your critical strike chance. Dots don't crit, so you know, they just do whatever damage they do based on your stats and your gear and your plus damage stats on your gear. So to have something that adds 8 spell damage for the next 10 seconds and stacks 10 times, and you're a warlock that opens up with, you know, 4 dots, that means, you know, 4 8s, 32, that means that your Shadow Bolt spell that you do next is going to have, you know, plus 32 spell damage on it and whatever else you can get out.
Right, so these are...
For 10 seconds, so it's a very nice deck for improving your DPS.
Oh, great.
So I got lucky, and there was actually a card that I needed in the guild bank, and so extracted that post haste and deposited a nice sum of gold in to replace that, and headed out to Goldshire. It's in Goldshire this month, and handed it in and got my Dark Moon card. It's basically the first time I'd really done anything with the Dark Moon Fair at all. I've kind of been out there a few times and dabbled around, and you've collected a few tickets and things, but I never really, you know, got into it. All the different things you can do with the Dark Moon Fair, which is something I kind of never got around to.
Right.
But you know, these decks, you know, are really the way to go for. I mean, I was using one of my trinkets was a green trinket that it's one of the ones that every 2 minutes you can hit it and do an extra bunch of damage. But most of the time, and except on maybe bosses, I'd forget to use it, so I wasn't really doing anything. And the great thing about this card, it's just on equip, so I don't have to remember. It just happens all the time. So that's improved it, and I to complete the hat trick of purple upgrades on a show this week, I went and cashed in some badges with the Shattered Sun Offensive and got a nice fused Nethergon band, which again improves my DPS and my spell hit rating quite nicely. So I'm yet to actually go and do any instances or ratings since getting all that gear, so I don't quite know how much it's increased my DPS by, so looking forward to that to see what kind of a difference all that's made. So, but I would expect quite a healthy improvement. So there's the first time in quite a while that I've flashed out and you know, replaced 3 bits of gear on the my rating tune for a long time. It's a good achievement. It's an easy reward, an easy way to give yourself a good feeling of achieving some reward and cashing in those badges and you know, being able to buy those cards and on the auction house and get it all together. It's good.
Oh, good. So once Asheo gets to be 70, or once you get to be 70, you still are upgrading and doing stuff.
Well, that's when it really starts.
Okay.
I mean, until you get to 70, all you're really doing, apart from, you know, maybe an odd purchase on the auction house, is replacing your gear with quest rewards and going into instances and getting, you know, you might be lucky and get a couple of drops in instances as you're leveling. But really, the serious business of gearing out your tune doesn't start until you hit 70.
Because Asheo's been 70 for what? At least, 6 or 7 months now?
At least. Yep.
Okay. And she's
probably a bit more.
Because, you know, some people get the idea that you race to 70 and then you've won World of Warcraft.
There is no winning.
Yeah, Blizzard's smart with that.
It's raised to 70, and then the hard work starts.
Yeah, and then Wrath of the Lynch King comes out. And
that's right.
And get to 80.
And get to 73, 74, and you replace all your purples with greens again.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
But I'm not going to. I mean, there was all worry about I'm going to lose all my gear when Burning Crusades are going to come out, that I'm not worried about it. It's all just part and parcel of the game now. I'm not going to stop, raiding and trying to upgrade my gear just because I know, in a few months, the next expansion pack's going to come out and all this stuff's irrelevant. I think it's all still part of the game, yeah.
Okay.
Do it while you can. Why the hell not? So that's my take on it anyway. And the shield and a shield, Pally Priest combination, I've determined that on these turns I'm going to complete the zone quests. Like on Jekyll and Hyde, I basically got halfway through Netherstorm and then stopped. They hit 70 and I basically stopped doing quests in the zones. They basically did quests insofar as doing dailies, but they never completed all the quests in Netherstorm and hardly got any of Shadowman Valley at all. So I'm determined on a shield and a shield. I'm actually going to complete all those and find all the good quest lines to do. And I mean, they're good to do because it increases your reputation with a lot of factions that you need to grind at level 70 to get faction rewards anyway. So it is a good thing to do. So they've been progressing their way through the Netherstorm quests, and I've got two quests of the week this week. One's a really easy one because it's not a chain, but it's I think I'll just hang on to this quest and not hand it in because what you get to do the quest is you get to summon an imp. So you're running around Netherstorm with an imp. So my priest kind of looks like a warlock. it's just the same as a warlock's imp. Unfortunately, you can only summon it in Netherstorm. But it's not like some quests where you have to be in a particular area before you can summon the helper. This one, it works anywhere in Netherstorm. So, and it's called Bloody Imp Possible. And you pick it up from Cosmo Wrench and it just gives you an item, and you're supposed to go and collect blood with it. But I'm just going to hang on to the quest because I think it's cool that my paladin and my priest can run around with imps.
Yeah, that is cute.
It's cute. And the other one is, it finishes with the quest Destroy Nibirius. This quest line starts in Kirinvar Village, which is southeast Netherstorm, with the quest Malevolent Remnants. And there's a couple of steps that you've got to do that have fairly low drop rates, but recommendation is to persist because the final quest reward in the chain is really well worth it. Probably more so for my priest than the paladin, but it was still still a nice blue off spec quest reward piece of plate armor. And the final boss is an elite, and most of these chain quests are that finish in a nice blue quest reward. And Nibirius can be quite tough. I remember doing it on my first turn, and completely I was just standing there, completely unexpected as to what was happening, and died pretty quickly. Because what she does, you really need to watch the ground. She casts this spell on the ground. It's like a circle around you on the ground, and it ticks for 1,000 damage.
Wow.
So if you're not moving in a short space of time, you can have several thousand damage done to you, and you die pretty quick. So I managed to move around enough on the pally and hold enough aggro and bring her down with the Shadow Priest. So another elite boss down that I haven't been able to do. I couldn't do it. I couldn't solo that on Jekyll and Hyde.
But you could with the priest and the pally.
I could with the priest and the pally. Yeah, and there's been a few of the out in Netherstorm, the group quests. There's some giants that you need to kill. You need to kill four elite giants to get a quest item off them, and then once you've done that, you have to go back and kill a named giant elite mob. And I could just do it with Jekyll and Hyde, with the turtle tanking, But you know, it had basically, you know, I'd just manage it, and it had wiped me out of mana, and you know, I really struggled because the thing with the giants, a lot of these giants are as you do damage to them and you burn them down, it's not like they just take damage; they kind of collapse and spawn off other little dudes that start attacking you as well. And even though they're not elite, you know, they're still doing damage to you. So you've got to hold aggro on three or four mobs. And basically what was happening with Jekyll and Hyde was, you know, Jekyll's trying to heal and he'd pull aggro and these little shard dudes run over and start beating on your healer and it's hard for the turtle to get aggro back again. But yeah, on the paladin priest, not a problem. Got him down easily. Hardly having to rest between, you know, going and attacking the next one.
Because, you know, even if something's little, after a while, if they beat on you enough, they can kill
you.
That's
right. Yeah.
You know, you learn that. You know what you learn? Well, for the Horde, you learn that in, what is that? The Valley of the Giants down in southern Barrens. When you go to those guys with the eggs and the little creatures that you have to go and get to harvest the eggs. And when you go down there, these little bugs pop off of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I have died.
They interrupt you.
Yeah, they interrupt your cast. Yeah. And then you're thinking, yep. Oh, well, they're nothing. They're little tiny things. And they keep hitting at you. And before you know it, you're, you know, laying there.
Yeah.
Dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And so, they're carrying on through there. And a shield actually... I took a shield aside and I had my first stab at dual boxing Karazhan this week.
Oh, how wonderful.
It was great. What a ball.
You dual box Karazhan with a shield and a shield?
No. With a Shayo and a shield.
And a shield. Okay. All right. Yep. Were you in a group?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Of course. Yeah.
So it was we started off going through it with... I think there was 9 of us. Maybe we started off with 8, and we got a 9th, and the 10th guy was in the raid, but must have been AFK the whole time, and eventually disconnected. So I said to the raid leader, "Hey, I've got this shadow priest. I think a Shaya needs her own personal healer. You know, let's bring in a shield." He said, "Yeah, right." So. I mean, you know, most of us were overgeared for Karazhan. It was more about, you know, helping out some other members that needed to gear up. So, I mean, yeah, we only had one tank, and to solo tank Karazhan, it takes a good tank. So it gives you some indication of how well geared, you know, the tank was. And the couple of the healers, or the, you know, one, at least one of the healers was really well geared, so it makes it a lot easier to dual box, you know, when you're not having to worry about pulling aggro off the tank or you know, having to have healers trying to keep, you know, a second character that you're playing around with alive.
Right.
So we got up to curator, and I dual boxed. You know, some of the way, at least the last two bosses, and got curator down. So Ashiel's started her badge collection from Karazhan, and it's pretty full on. The curator fight is really the tank against the curator, and there's all these adds that come out, these fell sparks, I think they're called, and you need to, everybody needs to DPS, be concentrating on those and kill those rather than killing the boss.
Oh, okay.
And they interrupt and they charge all over the place and they're constantly coming out, and you've got to keep on top of, you know, if you've got more than one or two out at a time, then you know, you fall behind and you can't get them all down before the boss goes into the next phase. And it's pretty full on trying to drive two characters doing that. I was madly switching back and forth, and towards the end, just on a shield, it was basically just doing greater heals trying to heal other raid members, and meanwhile the Shay is trying to cast shadow bolts to kill these mobs. But it was heaps of fun. It was very stressful, but
kind of like juggling things on fire. Yeah.
If you get a chance, give it a crack. It's heaps of fun.
Cool.
I enjoyed that. So hopefully I'll get to do that again at some stage and practice it a bit more. Mm. And I've as I said earlier, I've been giving my majors some loving this week. They're actually both now up to 25.
Oh, excellent!
So yeah, they've
so
been.
So you have two portals now? No, one. 20 and.
No, you get them both at 20. It's Silvermoon and Orgrimmar.
Okay.
You can actually go to Orgrimmar at Blood Elves can. I think it's different for different races. But certainly, Blood Elves can get Silvermoon and Orgrimmar at level 20. You don't get. I'm not sure which one's next. Maybe Thunderbluff or Undercity at 30.
Mm.
Haven't really looked at it, but I mean that makes it so easy to have your Hearthstone set in Shadrath and to be able to port to Orgrimmar or Silvermoon. You're just all over the place. It's fantastic.
Tell me exactly what you have to do to port.
It's just a spell.
Right. Oh, so I thought you had to have a rune or something.
Yeah. You need a reagent. It's a rune of teleportation you just get from any reagent vendor.
Mm-hmm.
So I just make sure I carry a stack of 20 with me at all times.
Okay.
And it's just a spell that I stick on one of my secondary cast bars and bang, you're there.
Now, you say reagent. I've been saying regent, but I guess it reagent makes more sense. Huh?
I guess so.
tomato, I see.
I'm Australian, so we make words up down here, so it could be regent, but okay. Pretty sure it's reagent.
Alright. Anybody know, drop us a line. controlaltwow@gmail.com. In my head I say regent, so I don't know.
In my head I don't say anything. I just look at words.
You don't have to try and say it
out loud. You go, oh, hang on a minute. I know this word, but I've never said it out loud before. And I think what I'll actually do is I haven't decided where I'm actually going to quest from 25 to 30. But I think what I'll do once I do actually decide that, I'll set my Hearthstone to there.
Right.
So I can actually Hearth back to my hub and port to a main city.
Right.
The only problem with that, of course, is I need to, when I do want to set it back to Shadrath, I'm going to have to get summoned or ported out there, because I don't think it's till 60 you get to, or maybe you can teleport there earlier than 60, but you can't do a portal to Shadrath.
Mm.
I should look that up. Someone will know. But anyway, so I took them one at a time through Shadowfang Keep and Black Fathom Deeps with a Shao and Hyde on the alternating account to get geared up. And I got lucky in Black Fathom Deeps. I think just about every boss drop was a cloth drop. So a couple of guildies came through with me. Mutilator on his, or Manahorn on his druid, and another guildie that had a paladin. So we weren't competing for gear. We had a clothy, a leather wearer, and a plate wearer, or a mail wearer.
Speaking of Manahorn, since you brought up his name, I just want to give a shout out to him. He's a very impressive altaholic.
certainly is.
Every once in a while, I get a whisper from some level 20 something. And it's his alt that he's gotten to level 27 or something already. And I just want to say, you're impressive. I shout out to Matterhorn.
I just logged in and was about to do a guild the G-chat, hey, anybody want to come along? And I whispered in and said, hey, have you got any level 20s that you want to bring to Black Fathom Deeps? And he's like, I've got three. Yeah. That was fun. It's, I haven't been to Black Fathom Deeps in a long time. And the other guildy that was there actually knew some bosses and drops and things that I didn't even know were there. So that was good. Cool. Zoom through that and completed a bunch of quests and ding 25. And it's I'm slowly but surely getting used to Key Clone, getting more familiar with it, and actually surviving some encounters where I previously completely failed and flummoxed around and died. I'm now being able to fairly consistently do crowd control and hold one mob in place and back away and have them both facing in the right direction to start attacking again. I did the Warsong Sawblades quest, one where you need to make up get the deadly blunderbuss as one of the quest items.
Right.
You know that one in Ashen Vale?
Yeah, I know that one.
So and the other ones drop from the other quest items drop from Firbolgs and from
and you got to go out to Booty Bay and get the
yeah and down to Booty Bay. So the two where you've basically got to kill Firbolgs. I mean, I was 23 when I did that, and the Firbolgs were like 25, 26, and I was taking them down pretty easily. But it was the what are they in satyrs? Satyrs and Satan.
Satyrs, yeah. You got to go into that camp and find that bottle of oil in one of the tents.
Yeah, and there's all roguey ones in there.
Yeah, stealth.
That
little sound. He can hear in you. Yeah, and then they do that thing where you get the heart attack and they make you go down to your knees. Did you get
that's
that?
Right. Yeah. But that's actually a curse, which is great.
Right.
We can remove curses.
Oh, cool.
So I didn't have to wait for the 5 minutes to stop getting blacked out all the time on that. But, yeah, so in there, I think I must have hit 24, I think, when I did that. And, they're 26, 27 in there. So, they were orange. They weren't red yet. So I could DPS one down fairly easily, but it was when I accidentally, they're runners as well, and if you can't see the stealthers and aggro a rogue that stealth, and you can easily aggro two or three. I did die once, but most of the time I managed to crowd control relatively well, and so I'm getting better with Key Clone. I've changed the way I'd previously set the W on the keyboard is how I walk forward sometimes, and I'd said that I'd changed that so that that was a do not pass. That is that.
So that only one needs to walk forward; the other one's following.
Yeah, but what was happening is it's probably a bit hard to explain in an audio podcast, but basically what was happening. That was fine when I'm in follow mode, but when I'm breaking out into I've got myself into a bit of a mess here and need to move them independently. I actually needed the W key to actually move both of them forward independently, and as also there's no way what bugs me is with the slash follow if you. If one's following and you have them both do a blink simultaneously,
right?
It breaks the follow.
Okay.
And if you try and macro it to do a blink and then a follow, the timing is such that it kind of gets confused and thinks that you're blink forward, but the person you're following it for a second doesn't realize that they've blinked, and it kind of spins around and goes to walk backwards, and then goes, oh, hang on a minute, they've blinked forward as well, and spins around the other way,
and so you
fall behind a few paces. So after about three blinks, you're, you know, sufficiently far apart that the follow breaks and you stop following. So I can't find a way around that apart from, well, if you start moving them independently and use W to move them both forward and use numlock to put them both into auto run mode.
Right.
And then you blink independently. They stay up with one another. So it's a more effective way to be moving around when you've got to move right across a zone to get to a kill area or back to hand in a quest. It's a much more effective way to actually be moving. But it just means the only downside to it is if they're not, if one is even a few degrees facing a different direction than the other, when you blink, they start diverging apart, and after two or three blinks, you're basically forced to go back into follow mode. Otherwise, they wander off on completely different paths. So I'm a bit baffled as to how the people that drive
five
characters independently, how they actually keep them side by side like that. It's obviously some trick that I haven't figured out yet.
Well, they probably also have more time to fool around with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably probably a macro that just maybe there's a way to actually just take a space a step to the left and a step forward on one turn and a couple of steps and on another turn and just macro it that way. But I haven't figured that out yet. I'm only getting there with two, so I'm not even going to think about how they manage that with five. Very impressive.
Well, anybody out there have any idea how this works? I personally don't use, I can't use Key Clone because I'm on the Mac, and I've gotten several whispers from people asking me what software I use to multibox. I don't use any. Somebody else said, "Oh, you go old school."
Yeah.
But if you use Key Clone or you have any ideas about this, please send an email to controlaltwow@gmail.com, and we would share it with everyone else. Even if you have some macros, I love macros.
For sure. So what about yourself? What mischief have you been getting yourself up to this week?
Well, first of all, I've been absolutely silly. Aprilian, last week she was doing crazy stuff and back in Old World. And she actually went back to Outland and dinged 60.
And
she went to back to Silver Moon and spent $510 on her riding skills.
Yes.
To get her level 60 chicken. And she was riding around in her level 60 chicken, and she was very happy with it. And, I know why she did it, because she wanted to do the primal cloth thing. Because I wanted to stay, at first I wanted to stay 59 so I could PvP. And I was enjoying the PvP, but then all of a sudden I realized that my cooldown for primal cloth was getting ready to expire, and if I hit 60, I could go get the quest in Lower City and make two primal moon cloths at a time, for my silly primal moon cloth bags that are depriving priests of their primal moon cloth outfits. So I decided to go back and Outland, and I dinged 60. And she needed to go, once she got the quest, she needed to go to Cenarion Refuge. Somebody else had mentioned that maybe she could go to any Moonwell. Do you know this? Because you go to Lower City and you make, you get the quest, and they give you a special bag and special ingredients to go and make a primal moon cloth.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like trying it, but somebody else said that you could go to any moon well. It would have been easier.
I don't see why not.
Go on, because the quest says go to Cenarion Refuge.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and of course she hadn't been there, so I wanted to give her an escort, and originally we tried going out to there from, we went to Falcon Watch, and then headed along, and, well, even before we got to Falcon Watch, we were riding somewhere, and of course, if you have two people on level 60 mounts, and you have one person on a level 40 mount, you know, it's not going to go very smoothly. So I thought, oh, she's level 60. She'll go get her riding skills, and then she'll come back, and then they can all ride out to Cenarion Refuge. And I don't know if something changed, but I remember trying to get to these places in the past and dying a lot. But we got there with almost no problem. We went from Falcon Watch. You know what I think might have been the problem? I think in the past, I thought that if you got hit by a mob, you had to stop and fight it. But now I just...
Run away!
There is nothing, there is no shame in running away. You know?
Come back and fight
another day. Right, you run away. So for any of those new players out there, do not underestimate the value of a good retreat. Or just keep going. Sometimes if the mobs have a certain range, and you just keep going, before you know it, you'll be, they'll get tired of chasing you, and you might be down to, sometimes you can get as low as like 10%, and then all of a sudden, you know,
they give up.
Yeah, they give up, you're out of combat, you know, and stop and drink and eat, and you're all fine. But, we ran through, Falcon Watch, because you have to go down this little hill through this like mountain pass, and there's all these ravagers, and
they're what kill you.
Yeah, but
you can get from Shadrath up to Cenarion Refuge without pulling aggro
all those bridges.
52 or something. Just running straight up there.
Yeah, well
it's getting over the ridge that draws you aggro.
Well, we made it. And she did the quest, and then a few hours later, she went back and made her first dual primal cloth. But
cool.
The irony, the funny thing, and the reason why this episode is entitled Oops, I Knew I Forgot Something.
What did you forget, Aprillion?
Aprillion is a warlock. And one of the wonderful things about warlock is they do not have to pay for riding skills. And when you get to be 40, you just go and buy riding skills from, you know, you train riding skills from the warlock trainer. And I think it's like 60 silver or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you still have to buy the mount. But Aprillion, level 60, there's a quest to get a dredge deed, and you get the riding skill in the quest. I keep hesitating because I want to say for free. It's not exactly for free.
Not exactly free, no.
You have to jump through 4 billion hoops.
But good fun hoops to jump through.
Right. So.
And every warlock should do it.
Right. So, I have decided to try the Dreadsteed quest, even though I've already paid the 510 gold, which totally drained half of my Guild Bank funds. But hey, that's what it's there for, right?
Just open a GM ticket and go, oops, sorry, can I just undo that?
Really? Maybe I should.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Can't hurt.
Yeah.
Can't hurt to ask.
Right. But I should wait till I finish the quest, right? Otherwise, I'm...
Yeah, we'll get right to the end of it,
yeah,
where you're about to hand it in and would have otherwise increased your writing skill.
Right. So now she went... The thing was, and I think this is one of the reasons why she didn't realize it, was that she went back to Silver Moon to get the chicken, and she stopped there to get her... to buy her... level 60 spells, which at one time would have made her part of the end game.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're just a few months too late.
Thank you, Burning Crusade. And so the quest to get the Dredge Deed is in Orgrimmar. It's not in this. It's nowhere in Silvermoon. Maybe if they'd had it in Silvermoon, I would have noticed it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I honestly don't remember where I picked up the quest for it.
I Googled it, which Google stuff is a great way to find out stuff. I always kind of laugh when I see in trade or even sometimes in guild chat, where is so-and-so? Where is... And I just think, oh, well, I'll just, you know, the internets. But, yeah, it says one place that Orgrimmar, and then I guess those Alliance people have another place. You know, it's funny. The Alliance seem to have a similar thing for everything we do. It's kind of funny that way.
Yeah, funny about that.
Yeah. So... I went back to Orgrimmar and I got the quest, which, of course, sends me back out to Burning Steps, where I had been earlier in the week, and then sends me all around, and I'm doing all the legs of it. I finally got to the part where I have to go to Sholomont's. I loved going to back to Jadenar. This Shadowhold, and it's in Fellwood.
Yep.
I don't know why, but I really love that place. I love the little winding corridors and all the little rooms off of the caves and how you go deeper and deeper into it. It's an amazing place. I really think it's kind of cool. But this time you go in as in disguise. I think those are some of the best quests in the game when you get to disguise as... Because you know, you walk
past things that you normally have to kill.
Yeah, and the Jadenar place out in Fellwood is just wall to wall mobs. They're just like all over the place. So walking through the thing, and it just felt really cool. The only thing is, just for anybody doing this, you only are disguised from Jadenar people. Anything else in there that's not Jadenar will kill you. Or will attack you. The ooze slime. There's one pit of ooze slime you have to go through. That will attack you.
And does that remove your disguise?
No, it doesn't remove your disguise.
Okay.
Yeah, you just have to kill them. And then there was a succubus. I don't know why she attacked me, but when I went through one area, there was one succubus that attacked me. But nobody else attacked me in that same room. They were all like, oh, look. Oh, okay, here. And so then you go all the way in and you talk to that big guy, and he looks a lot like the guy down in Undercity. The big, like, horn guy with the wings and...
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, very impressive. And then he sends you to kill somebody in the chamber, and then you come back and he tells you to buy something. And, you know... Sometimes I like to be adventuresome and not read everything, but sometimes there's a reason to read. For instance, when he tells you to go buy this dust from this guy standing next to him and you don't have 150 gold with you. And the really bad thing that happened to me was when I first went to go in, I took a drink and I got disconnected. I was at work on my break. Yeah. On my break.
Break.
Yeah. And my cellular modem just kept disconnecting me. I'm hoping it was because AT&T is upgrading the towers or something. Because it kept happening one right after the other. And then when it happened like four times, I said, okay, well, maybe it's not a good idea to do this quest while this is happening. So when I log back in... I think I drank twice, so now I was down to one bottle. When you buy the, when you're out in Burning Steps, you buy this potion that lets you disguise yourself, and it's 6 gold, which is funny because your whole economic viewpoint kind of slides up the more you play, you know. Because at one time, for me to buy a quest item for 6 gold,
I would have been like,
6 gold? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. But now it was... only 6 gold.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes me worried about new people into the game. I mean, you know, if you don't have a sugar daddy, mommy, main alt, then you're going to be, you know, kind of...
Go and buy this dust for 150 gold.
Oh, yeah. So I ended up, not only did I end up without dust, without the 150G, I was also running out of the, you know, I could have just poured it back and got the money and go back. But now I got to run out to Burning Steps and get some more of this potion to hide myself. And I got this brilliant idea. Oh, I have a level 47 warlock. Maybe she could go out and buy it. But she ran all the way out there and the guy wouldn't even talk to her. So Aprilian had to run back out. And, you know, I mean, these guys are like on the other end of the map from the flight path.
It's a lot of running around.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, it's very fast. I have to tell you, there is a noticeable difference on the level 60 riding mount. In fact, to some point, I had to slow down because, you know, if you go too fast, you can't make the turns properly. So I do notice, you know, you're going along on the road, and I like to do auto run.
Yeah.
And then I find that, you know...
Are you using the keyboard to turn?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow, what do you use to turn? You click?
The mouse. I steer with my mouse.
How do you steer with your mouse? You click?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
If you
click here and click there and...
Right click. And
then you get to a spot and then you have to right click again?
Yeah, pretty well. I mean, yeah, you can spin on the spot.
Oh.
If you hold down the right mouse button, you can like do very tight circles.
Oh. Okay. So, if you say so. So, she ended up going back and doing everything to the point where she came back and got the imp in the bottle. So now I guess I have to find a group to go to Charlemont's or Scholomont's. Am I saying that right?
I say it's Scholomont's. Could be shallow from where you're from.
Okay, so I'm hoping now that some... And then, of course, there's this whole thing where you have to have a bunch of stuff that's maybe some warlock might have. And I'm hoping maybe there's a warlock out there, maybe a powerful 70 warlock who could possibly run me through Scholomont's and help me out.
Maybe there is. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is. Mm-hmm. And if you're that warlock, write to a friend.
So
I'm more than happy to. I'd love to come to Skylo and help you get that stuff done. And I'll come to Dune Dime Mall as well and finish it. But I don't have the
gear.
250 gold worth of gear.
Oh,
that you need. Well, I was one of the lucky ones that when I hit 60, another warlock in the guild was had just hit 60, and he'd found a warlock, a level 70 warlock that had done it and still had the mats and was more than happy to help out a bunch of warlocks go back in. So. This party warlocks go back in and I don't even really know what happened. I just kind of stood around and went, oh, okay, this is interesting. And went bang, 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 bang. So it was all done. So there you go. There's your mount. It's like, oh, thank you.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, when you, there's a couple of things that you need to do to get into to open a portal. To get your Dreadsteed mount, you have to open this portal into somewhere. And the thing that's neat about it is that you need three items that are reusable. The Jevi's Jar, the Black Lodestone, and the Zorian Glyphs.
Very good.
Yeah. And
I'm not going to attempt to improve your pronunciation of those.
And they cost about, you can buy them on the auction house, I guess, or can you buy them at the...
You buy them from the guy that in Burning Steps.
Oh, okay. So it's that same guy.
I think it's the imp there, actually.
Okay, that you buy the dust.
They're all from there, yeah.
Yeah, but if a warlock's already done the quest, then you can just reuse them, which is kind of nice. There's some things that are reusable, yep. And some things I've found that you can transfer, like mercurial stones. You can; those aren't bind on use. You can transfer them back and forth.
Right.
So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, so I bought the black lodestone is used to, you click on these things to keep the portal or whatever it is going, and you need to keep doing that throughout the fight.
Uh-huh.
So it helps if multiple warlocks have the black lodestone and can help keep them going during the fight. So I bought that, but you only need someone else to have the jar and the glyphs. So that's 200 gold of stuff that you don't have to buy if you can find a warlock that's already done it and will run you through it.
So the other crazy thing I did was somebody was selling the weather-beaten journal that gives you the fishing finding ability.
Can sell it?
Well, it turns out that
on pickup.
Only if you open if you take it out of the chest. So basically,
okay.
If you do the right click, and you look in it and you see it, you can close it back up and you can trade the chest.
All right.
But there's a small catch to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that I bought it from didn't tell me this. You have to have fishing skill in order to see the book. because it's supposed to be bind and pick up, and because allegedly you fished it out. If you don't have a fishing skill, and of course I bought it on my level 1 bank alt, and I went to open it, and right after I opened it to shift click to look at it, the guy says to me, if you don't have the fishing skill, you won't be able to see it. Not only will you not be able to see it, but it also just poofed. And it said, it told me that I wasn't allowed to loot this.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah. But, you know,
You're sure it wasn't
a scam?
Con job?
Yeah.
Some scam.
Well, that, I don't know. So, I have been, I got obsessed with trying to find it again. So, you know, I don't know if
you want another fisherman?
Hmm?
You want to have haven't one of your turns already got?
Yeah.
The beaten. So you're going to do fishing on more than one turn?
I like fishing.
Oh, you are crazy.
Yes, I do. I find it very relaxing and challenging, and you get all sorts of interesting things like bolts of wool. And sometimes you get a nice
green. They've got them on the auction house.
A nice green item and stuff. And it's kind of fun. So I got obsessed, and I took Real Fire out to Stranglethorn Vale. And she ran up the coast and ran around trying to find little pools of stuff to fish in. And she got a lot of stuff. And she also got her fishing up. I think she started out at 179 when I got obsessed, and now she's up to 2-something. And,
that's all right.
Yeah, she didn't get the book, but it was still fun. Then she went to Cenarion Refuge to get the training book, the next level, the Artesian. And she went fishing out there, and with that aerator, whatever, the lure that you can apply to your fishing pole, she was able to fish out in Outland, and that was kind of neat.
The aerodynamic lure.
Yeah, that thing. And, you know, if you fish in a zone that's way higher than you, you're going to not, even with a lure attached, you're not going to be able to catch anything. It's going to be
they
like,
get away.
Yeah.
It's a very frustrating experience.
Right. So maybe every fifth one she caught something, which was kind of nice because the stuff that she caught, she can cook. So. You know, there was stuff that would cost a little bit more in the auction house. But it wasn't worth the time. So she went to Azara to go fishing. And, also she had to turn in that... she still hadn't finished, and Aunt Melia hasn't either, her hunter quest. She turned in the scales to that guy that's way out in the middle of nowhere, sitting on a bluff. And...
Yep.
And she got the quest to go to Sunken Temple to kill the other guy.
Right.
But while she was out there, she decided to go riding and find a pool of water to fish in. I mean, no, go off to the coast. And she got kind of lost because, you know, there's a few ways you can get down to the beach. You know, there's a bunch of bluffs and then there's a whole lot of Nagas. And so she ended up out by those dragonkin, those blue scaled guys.
There's a dragonkin out there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dragonkin. And while she was doing that, she was killing, she killed a few guys and a azure whelpling dropped.
Oh, the rare pet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was kind of neat. So, let me see what these guys are called. They're dragonkin, because I know that, because she has a fine dragonkin, and she, it comes off.
No, I know there's dragons in there, but that's not, that wasn't, was it along the coast, or was it inland?
It's almost inland. So she got kind of lost passing through, you know, there's that quest where you have to find all these tablets. And then you go through these, like, different...
In the ruins of Eldorath.
Right, exactly. And while she was going through the ruins, she ended up out in the southern part, more...
Okay.
Yeah, and she ended up running into these... the blue dragon spawn, blue scale bane, and draconic mage weavers. And I guess these azure whelplings were added in patch 2.3.
Cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. The fourth or fifth time she killed something, it dropped. So she's got got it up on the auction house right now.
What are the odds of that?
I know. And of course, you know what happened then? What happens when you go out and you find a nice drop somewhere? You go back and you want to see if you can get another one.
Get another one. Oh, come on. I just looked it up. Drop rate 0.0%.
Right. So, you know, she's been out there for a while now. Actually, she's been out there. She's killed a whole bunch, went through all her arrows, went through all her food and water, and came back. And she's gone back about 4 times now. I mean, it's not bad because she actually dinged 61 while she was out there. Some of the, they're between 50 and 54. So if she kills 50, at the time, if she killed 51 or higher, she was getting some kind of XP. Plus, she had rested XP. And there's some nice green drops that she's gotten. And she got a backpack, a 14-slot bag. And, of course, she's a skinner, so she's been getting lots of thick leather, rugged leather, and blue dragon scale and worn dragon scale. So, I mean...
Pity it's not black. You could use that for your warlock quest.
Actually, I have a bunch of black. I was killing stuff out in Burning Step a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And she was getting
it. Drops.
Yeah, and I ended up with like 20 of them and didn't know that they were valuable. And so I have a few left, so Aprilian's all set for that. Okay, so, it wasn't a waste because while Aprilian was running around doing her Dreadsteed thing, and also when she was doing the dinging in Outland, Real Fire was over. You know, sometimes when I'm multi-boxing, I'm also multitasking. I have them in different places.
For sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of you have to keep your eye on both people, and a couple of times one of them would die, but you know it works. So that was fun. Then somebody, sometimes I play WoW like pinball, where my ball is going
really?
In one direction.
I've never noticed.
And then all of a sudden it gets hit and it's off in another direction for a while and bouncing all over the place. So somebody mentions SFK on the guild forums. And I went, I have a couple of... alts that could play that could go there, and Aunt Rilia, who's my level 63 hunter, took Aishak and Relak. Now Aishak was my level 16. She's dinged since then, priest, and Relak is my warrior, which something I wanted to really do. I wanted to dual box those two. I've never really done a priest, and I'm kind of, you know, interested in the healing part. Plus, they seem very valuable in the upper level game. So,
for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny because I also then brought in Pri, who's a rogue, level 18 rogue. So I had those three characters, and then I had Aunt Rilia, who's on the same account as Pri, and I would leave Pri there for summoning, because she could summon the other two, because we were there for a while. So every once in a while, you do have to go somewhere to leave Shadowfang Keep to sell your loot and repair and get stuff. So I would hearth home on one, have them, you know, sell all the stuff, and then the other two could summon. Although, it's so funny how you can get real stupid sometimes in this game while you're playing. I had sent Ishaq back to repair and sell stuff and send stuff to the alt. So another good thing, oh, by the way, was Aunt Rilia having, she's got her enchantment up to like 2-something now. And it was really cool because there was some bind on pickup stuff in SFK that either they had, and I tell you, Arc Inventory, we talked about this last week. Arc Inventory has just been amazing for me because I think I had kind of forgotten that Ishaq and Relak had been through Shadowfang Keep before. And so if they go to get something, say for instance that the bloody apron that drops, I was able to click on it with Ishaq, and it would tell me right away whether or not she had one in the bank, because they had both of these guys had some of the bind on pickup stuff already, so it would have been silly for them to have it again. There's nothing you can do but vendor it. So the ones that had duplicate, and I could tell who. It's kind of neat because if you do have multiple accounts and you log on the same computer with these accounts, it can even tell you across the board who's had it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. So, you know, I mean, sometimes I keep one account on one computer, but it's kind of neat the way Arc Inventory can see everything or remember everything. And it even tells me what's in the different guild banks that I've accessed. So that's kind of neat too. Of course, most people won't have multiple guild banks to access.
Most people don't.
So, and then whatever was duplicated, was able to shard. I think she just got small, brilliant shards or something. But it's better than, you know, just wasting it.
Better than vendoring it, for sure. Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. They actually got... The thing is, and this is the question that comes up about triple boxing a lot, is whether it's better to triple box with people of your... with characters of the same level, or whether it's good to run your tune through. The only really good time that it's efficient to run with a higher level tune is in an instance. And that's not because of the level of EXP, but the volume of EXP.
Yep.
Because when you're out in
probably the other time to do it is if you're really... I mean, most of the time I'll avoid doing low drop rate quests. But if for some reason you actually want to... get a low drop rate quest done, to have a high level come in and just round up a whole bunch of mobs and nuke them is a much faster way to complete a low drop rate quest.
Right. Again, that's the volume.
Yeah.
And so I had, of course, Ishaq and Relax just kind of hang back and make sure they were in enough range so that they were getting the XP. And, you know, because they have to also be close enough to be part of the group when you kill. Otherwise, they can't loot. And it's a lot of fun. I'm really finding that I like Shadowfang Keep. I didn't like it for a while there because it's very close quarters, you know, and you have to keep very aware. But
it is, but, yeah, I mean, it's... It is a great instance.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety.
It's a lot of people's popular instance, and it's nice. There's a variety. It's nice and quick to go through. There's great drops that you can get from it.
But the stupid thing I did, I didn't go back to that, is that iShack went back, and I had pre and relac at the pole trying to summon iShack back, and it wouldn't work. Yeah, you know that
the stone.
The stone. Yeah. You say stone, I say the thing. And I remember standing there doing it over and over again, and she wasn't getting it. And it was just, they were both there with their hands on the thing, on the stone. And she's like, and I logged her out. I thought maybe she was the wrong level, but then I remembered that we had summoned somebody else. Well, you know what it was? Both of them were doing the circle. You have to create one circle, and then the other person clicks on the circle. I'm so stupid. I like wasted like 40 minutes trying to, you know. For those young kids out there laughing at me now, and you can laugh if you want to, but you're going to be my age one day, and you're going to know what it's like to have a brain fart. There's no other word.
Yeah, those summoning stones can be annoying sometimes from that aspect. You know, if one, and it's not clear if it's worked, like if one person moves while they're clicking on it. Both of you think, oh yeah, the summon's gone off, and you kind of ride off into the instance. You know, 5 minutes later, the guy says, "Hey, you're going to summon me?" did you get it?
Well, that's one of the advantages.
And the other thing is if you're like it's particularly bad for druids. If you're close and you start clicking, the actual bit that you click on is right on top of you, and it's actually hard to click because it's, you know, you end up targeting the mob, the person, rather than the actual portal.
Mm.
Yeah. They could improve the mechanics of that somewhat, I think.
Plus, if you're away, a few steps away, and you click on it, you do that rubber band thing, where instead of actually clicking on it, you're running around it in a circle. Never had that one happen.
Maybe that was just me.
So, Bill Fire's back at the, I went into to Shadowfang Keep, but not really, and that was fun. That was lots of fun. We got lots of stuff. I must have ran it 3 or 4 times, you know. Didn't get any BOE stuff, but got a lot of BOP, you know. Stuff that these guys will be able to use few levels ahead, and that was kind of fun. I didn't have a lot of the quests, which brings me to Quest Guru. Quest Guru, well, everybody knows about Quest Helper, I guess. It's kind of neat in some respect because it will show you where the mobs are that you need to do the quest. But, you know, it also gives you these marching ants, and it kind of nags you when you go to flight paths and stuff. But Quest Guru adds a little something to your quest log, and it gives you a different kind of tracker. So I'm not going to go too much detail about it, but it does make things a little bit easier, and it keeps track of the quests that you've already done. So that's kind of neat.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but
so what kind of detail does it add to the quest log?
It makes it bigger. It adds a separate window. So when you click on the quest log and you click on a quest, it, you know, adds a detail. And it also gives you, when you know how you can click the quest watcher thing, it gives you a resizable window, and it allows you to click the up and down arrow to turn to close off certain zones in your quest tracker and your And it gives you...
Sounds like a mod, because I used to have a mod like that was bundled with Cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped using Cosmos a while ago because it just became bloatware. And you know, even though I didn't like it, I've just persisted and got used to the standard Blizzard, you know, quest log interface. But it sounds like that. And it was so much easier to use.
And it also gives you coordinates. And it gives you a percentage of stuff that you've done. Like, next to the quest log, it gives you... And when you scroll over, it has two parts to it. The part that's on the quest log and, of course, the quest tracker, which takes the place of the quest watcher that mm-hmm. shows up on the right-hand side or wherever you want to put it. And it's also movable.
Right.
And when you... When you hover over the quest tracker part, it shows you the actual details of the quest.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And when you've actually completed a quest, does it come up in the middle of your screen and say you've completed this quest?
It has a whole bunch of sounds and stuff. It tells you the complete. It tells you, it gives you a little bit of a louder alert when you've picked up something. Oh, you know what else it does? If you hover over a mob, it'll tell you what part of the quest, if you have a quest for that mob. In which quest mob. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because there was a couple of times when I didn't realize I needed this particular mob, and it said, oh, yeah, you know, you so-and-so wants you to kill this guy because he needs the boogers from his nose. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't say that. We haven't had any booger quests yet, and I don't want to give Blizzard any...
give them any ideas. They've got plenty of ideas with all the poo quests in the Outlands.
Yes, exactly. So I really like Quest Guru. But while two things happened while Real Fire was out in Azaro. One thing was she died a lot. And it's funny. I was with some guildie who had res sickness. And I don't know who told me this and why it stuck in my head, but somebody a long time ago when I first started with World of Warcraft said to me firmly, don't ever res at the Spirit Healer after you're level 10. And I've never done it. I've always run back to my body no matter where I've been. Because you get damaged.
So you've never spirit res before?
No, I think I might have done it.
I'm surprised you haven't had situations where you're forced to.
You do
in Outlands, or maybe they fix some of the spots. But there's some spots in Outlands where you can fall off and you can't get back to your body. You can't get close enough. You have to spirit res.
Yeah, I've never had that. I've always thought that the damage of what was in your inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Would be so expensive that it's just something that you never do.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that you would like to try and avoid, especially if you're just starting on a realm and you don't have much gold, or you're on an in-game raiding tune and you're decked out in purples and in your bags you've got your offset of purples. That's going to cost you a pretty penny to repair.
The other thing that was funny that Real Fire encountered was, you know, when I'm logging off, I always like to do two things if I'm not in an inn. You know, I like to get to an area that's where I feel like no mobs will spawn because I don't want to log in and be fighting. But I also like to get on my mount because I feel like if I log in and I do have to fight, I have a better chance of running away on my mount, mm-hmm. rather than being there and having my pet out or something. And, you know, I have a lot of pets or classes with pets. So I had backed into this little corner that I thought was pretty safe because this area where she is, there's a lot of mobs. And there's also giants in Azaro. So you want to make sure that
you're... Elite giants too,
I think.
Or they changed that.
Yeah. I don't remember, but I do remember a couple of times logging on and walking away and coming back and finding myself dead. So you have to kind of remember where you were when you log in. So I was in this corner trying to mount, and it, you know, how you click mount and you kind of look away and do something else, or, you know, and I kept looking back and she wasn't, and I said, oh, I thought I clicked that. Did it again, and it turned out that if there's not enough room to materialize your Kodos, Blizzard won't let you mount there. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That happened before.
Yeah, once I looked around, I realized that if she had mounted, the Kodos would probably get stuck. And, you know, they don't get stuck very often. Not. they get stuck a lot.
All the time.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny. And let's see, what else have I been doing? Yeah, Real Fire dinged 161, and I'm looking at my notes.
Cool.
Yeah, she's still out there.
So you've got 3/60 now, so...
Yeah.
So when are you going to get into some serious
Outland
triple boxing in the Outlands?
Yeah, I think we're going to go out, go over to Spinebreaker today with the three of them.
Cool.
You know, it's funny because you go through these, for me, some it's different when you just pick one character and you go straight through. And, you know, you focus on that. But you go through, and I guess it happens to everybody. You go through these different levels where you're vulnerable, then you get strong, and then you move on to another area, and you're vulnerable again, and you get stronger. So it's very hard for me. There's a part of me that doesn't want to go to Outland because I feel safer.
No, you'll be fine.
I love being in SFK and, you know, just letting loose on every mob I see. And I have the cat, Umar. I named it Umar, Umarillion. And, yep. I mean, he's just an awesome tank. He just goes out and kills everything. Of course, I have to be careful because I have to at least tag it. And that's another thing. I think I've talked about this before, but... I was on Aprillion. She had to go out to Winterspring to kill those owl beasts to get their blood. She had to get 30 owl beast blood. And, you know, if she just looks at a mob and her fell hunter goes out and kills it, it counts and she gets to loot it.
Right.
When you're a hunter and your pet hit something and kills it, even though you've shot at it and you've, you know, put some kind of a something, you've cast something on it.
Some sort of damage, yeah.
Yeah, you have to hit it a few times before you can be able to loot it. Although it's good that your pet's killing for you, it's nicer when they kill for you and you can get something out of it.
Right.
Yeah, so that's...
I haven't noticed that a bit, but I didn't think that it was particularly worse on the hunter than the warlock for having your pet kill things and not be able to loot it.
Yeah. I mean, one time my fell hunter, I think I didn't even notice he was killing this guy. Maybe because of the soul link or because of some other bound, you know, the binding between the two, the warlock and,
right,
and the pet. But I didn't even see him, I didn't even notice he was killing this guy, and I went over and I could loot him.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah, kind of neat. So that's about it for me. It's I'm gonna have to go into Outland, but
you are.
Yeah.
Just to remember that Outlands, you know, Hellfire Peninsula is mainly set up for soloing.
Right.
There's the vast majority of the zone is for soloing. So if you've got a 60 and a 61 and what's Untrillia up to now?
63.
I mean, there's, yeah, you should be tearing through that zone.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have any concern at all.
Well,
really,
the only real concern with having triple is getting out of the way of the Fel Reaver if everybody's not on follow.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I find myself feeling like...
Well, the sooner you get out there and learn where his stomping ground is and to stay out of the way,
right,
you know, then yeah, the sooner you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. So next week, Aprillion triple boxing in Outland. And I think that brings us to the end of another good episode. Don't you
sweet.
Think? Yeah, sweet. So, we're at...
Well, hopefully during this week as well, maybe on the weekend, we'll get Aprillion her Dreadsteed.
Yeah, that would be cool. So, we're at controlartwow@gmail.com and controlartwow.com. I think I put up some more YouTube stuff, so if you want to take a look at that. And let me know what you think of Quest Guru. And I think that does it. So... For Control Alt Wow, episode 67, this is Aprillion saying for the Horde.
And this is Ashayo for the Horde. It's been-
been real.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al-Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.